Well, if you're a guest with us, thanks so much for being here at Crossline. Pastor JP, I have the privilege of being the senior pastor here. And you're kind of joining us at the end of a series that we've been in over the summer called Just Do It. And we're going to pick that up today. Next week, we're going to wrap that series up. And we are going to have a treat around here. Our own Pastor Greg Monk is going to be bringing a final message on that series. He's going to be talking about just seek and save the lost. And you won't want to miss that because that's the heartbeat of Jesus. And that's the way James wraps up this whole book about being doers of God's word. I just want to piggyback a little bit off of what Jordan had to say. Man, God is moving here at Crossline. He's been moving over the course of this summer. And we're coming to the end of the summer, transitioning into the fall. Let me just say to you in my strong pastoral exhortation, if you've given your life to Jesus Christ and you have not yet been baptized, then you need to be at Doheny Beach with us today, this afternoon, for our Baptique, because that's what Jesus said. He said that we are to give our lives to Christ, then we're to be baptized, publicly saying that we're his followers, and we as the community of faith are to rejoice and celebrate in that. So we're going to be there. We're going to be having a lot of food and hanging out and having fun, and then we're going to walk down to the beach and baptize folks who've given their lives to Christ. And if you have yet to make that public declaration, this is going to be a great opportunity for you to bless you and to bless our entire church as we celebrate the fact that Jesus is changing people's lives. So we look forward to seeing you there today. Also on this community groups and our outreach, that's where we're going as a church. And so everybody here, we're asking everybody to be in a community group and invite their friends and their neighbors to join with them, and for many of us to be hosts. And it is as simple as opening up your home and providing some food, and then we're going to provide you all the materials for the discussion. So please, as we go out after the service today, everyone sign up to be both in a group and for many of us to also sign up to be hosts. Just do it. That's what James says. The whole theme of James is James 1:22. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. So James is encouraging and exhorting us to wherever we are in our spiritual journey to take the next step and just do it. And today what he's going to encourage us with is to just take our prayer to the next level. Just take our prayer to the next level. You know, we are doing that as a church. How many of you were with us last week in our worship service? Was that amazing or what? I shared last week the fact that God has been taking me in my own journey as it relates to prayer and faith and healing. And part of that story I shared was that there's been a couple of people in my life that have spoken prophetic words to me about this and about Crossline. And one of them is Minnie McFarland, who's been a part of our church since the very beginning. She just recently moved to the island of Cyprus, where she and her husband Graham are there serving with a church in Cyprus. Minnie spoke to me on a couple of occasions that God was taking us and our church to a whole new level. Now, I preached the sermon last week. We prayed. Our elders were up here. We prayed for people's healing. We saw just amazing things in our church. And I just want to tell you that I am blessed to serve with an awesome group of men whose hearts are broken for the things that break God's heart. Our elders, our hearts were broken as we heard what's going on in the lives of people of our church. We are praying and continuing to pray for you that God would do amazing works of healing and provision and restoration. I preached that sermon before it even got online. So this was before it was posted through our live stream. I received a text from Minnie McFarland. And she said this, JP, the Lord has led me to share with you that on two occasions recently, I have been praying for you and for Crossline, and the Lord has laid it on my heart to tell you that the prayers that come from the deepest part of your soul are between you and God, that he's heard them. And because you've come before him in humility and reverence, you will see the manifestation of his holiness and power and glory in your life and at Crossline. He will give you boldness as you minister, as you lay hands on the sick and the lost and the discouraged, and that those who are desperate and hungry for God, they will see miracles. I know that God will confirm what he's asked me to share with you, and I pray that our Heavenly Father will open the floodgates of heaven and let blessings be poured upon you and your ministry and upon Crossline Church. I love you. Hugs and kisses to Donna. Graham and I are praying for you, many. Wow. If you're not connecting the dots, I shared the story of how God used many to speak to me about where God wanted our church to go. That was confirmed by Pastor Forge and some experiences that I had in Haiti. It was confirmed by the preaching of and teaching and studying of God's word. We saw in the Bible, in the passage in James chapter 5, where God says that we're to pray, we're to seek him. If people are sick, they're to call for the elders. We're to anoint people with oil and pray in faith that they might be healed. I shared that that was part of a story that God was building for us as a church. And before she could see and hear that, she received more words from God that that is exactly what he wants to do here. See, God, he wants us to take our prayer to a whole new level. He wants us to take our prayer personally and as a church to a whole new level. This is what it says in James chapter 5. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it didn't rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. As I've been sitting on this passage and this whole concept of taking our prayer to the next level, I've been reading a lot of things written about prayer. Ian Bounds wrote this: the goal of prayer is the ear of God, a goal that can only be reached by patient and continued and continuous waiting upon him, pouring out our heart to him, permitting him to speak to us. Only by so doing can we expect to know him. And as we come to know him better, we will spend more time in his presence and find that presence a constant and ever-increasing delight in prayer. He also wrote this: the church is looking for better methods, but God is looking for better people. The Holy Spirit does not flow through methods, but through people. He does not come upon machinery, but through people. He does not anoint plans, but people, people of prayer. Jim Cimbala, pastor of a really strong, healthy church in Brooklyn, said, "Does the Bible ever say anywhere from Genesis to Revelation, 'My house shall be called a house of preaching'? Does it ever say, 'My house shall be called a house of music'? Of course not. The Bible says, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer.'" I'm convinced that people's lives are transformed more by 10 minutes of real prayer than by listening to 10 of my sermons. F.B. Meyer said, "The greatest tragedy of life is not unanswered prayer, but unoffered prayer." And here's my favorite prayer quote: "If the church wants a better pastor, it only needs to pray for the one they already have." So there you go. Just take your prayer to the next level. See, the principle in this passage in James is this: the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective to bring healing and miracles. So you got to put last week and this week's message together. It says in James 5, in 5:13, if you're in trouble, pray. If you're happy, pray. Sing songs, praise. If you're sick, call for the elders and have them anoint you with oil, and the prayer offered in faith will heal the person and raise them up. If they've committed any sins, they'll be forgiven. Confess your sins to one another that you may be healed. Pray for one another. The fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous person, it accomplishes much. Elijah was a man just like us, and he prayed, and it stopped raining. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave forth rain. See, this is a principle that God wants every person here, wherever we are in our own little prayer journey, because every one of us prays or has prayed. I mean, I can go out on a limb on that one. Did you know I prayed even before I even came to know Jesus? I actually remembered. I was thinking about this, and I laughed to myself this morning as I was reviewing my sermon. I was 14 years old, and I was coming back from a friend's house. It was late at night, and I was riding my little Stingray. I had a green Stingray with the little streamers coming from the edges right here, the handlebars up like this. It had a seat with these springs in it. It was called a pea picker. It was cool, man. I'm riding my little pea picker. And I'm coming across this park that was between my house and my friend's house, and there was a gang of guys there in the park, and they started yelling stuff at me, and I just was riding my bike, and they started chasing me. They were running after me, and so I was pedaling as fast as I can, and I'm praying, oh, God, save me. Jesus, get me out of this. Lord, get me home. No one taught me ever about prayer. I never went to a Bible study on prayer. My parents never said anything. This is what you do when you're in trouble. You pray. It was just in me to pray. Every person here is at some level in our prayer life. You know what James is telling us this morning? Take it to the next level. And he's telling us why. The reason why is the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and can accomplish much in healings and miracles, because our God is so good and nothing is impossible with God, and God wants to hear and respond and answer our prayers. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective to bring healing and miracles, and he uses Elijah as an example. And the reason this is so important is Elijah is one of those guys in the Bible that God worked in and through to do a lot of miracles. So when you're reading through the Hebrew scriptures and you come across Elijah and the passages that talk about Elijah, there are these miracles that happen in and through his life. And this is what we're likely to do when we read something like that. We put Elijah in this category of the super spiritual or the super gifted or the uniquely qualified by God in some particular way. He has the special ability, and that's why he did those miracles. But God tells us in James, that's not the case. It says in the NIV, he was a human being just like us. It reminds me back like when I was in high school playing football, and we were playing an opponent that, you know, was really good, and we knew they were going to clean our clock, and we're kind of intimidated. And our football coach would say, hey, they just put their pants on the same way you do, one leg at a time. They're just guys. You can take them on. Elijah was nothing special. It wasn't Elijah who did the miracles. It was God. And that's why he says, you can look at Elijah and the miracles that God did through Elijah, he could do through you if you'll be a righteous person praying. Because God is a God of miracles. God is the one who does these things. And so what God wants to do is he wants to take us to a new level in our praying. Every person here, he wants us to step into a new experience of prayer so that we lay hold of God and we draw near to God and we experience God's work in our lives and God's work in our church, and God gets the glory because God is doing what only God can do. So how do we take our prayer to the next level? I got 7 suggestions. They come out right out of Scripture. Just 7 suggestions. So wherever you are, how to take it to the next level. How to take it to the next level. Here's the first suggestion. Pray with a clean heart. Pray with a clean heart. It says in James 5:16, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. So there's something in the backdrop of this passage that James is saying that sin can be interfering with your relationship with God. Sin can be interfering with your relationship with others. Sin can be interfering with your breaking through in prayer. You know, it says in Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. I could be the most eloquent person in my prayer. I could be as passionate as Pastor Greg praying. But if I have sin in my heart, the Lord doesn't hear. The Lord doesn't hear. And you know what's awesome about naming sin as sin? Is the Bible tells us the solution. Jesus died for our sins, and 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so for some of us, the issue that's blocking us from going to the next level in our relationship with Jesus, what's blocking us to growing in our faith, what's blocking us to experiencing God in our prayer life is sin. And we need to confess our sins so that we pray with a clean heart. That's why David said in the Psalms, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me. See if there be any hurtful way in me. And lead me in the everlasting way. And so David said, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. See, when we pray with a clean heart, we pray with the confidence that there's nothing that's going to hinder us talking to God and us hearing God. And so for some of us, to take our prayer to the next level, we need to pray with a clean heart. Maybe we need to, before we pray, just say, Holy Spirit, is there anything in my life that I haven't dealt with? Any sin I haven't confessed? Anything that I'm not aware of? Any relationship that I need to make right? You know, in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said, if you're bringing your offering to the Lord in worship and you know there that there's something not right between you and somebody else, you've wronged them and you haven't gone and made that right, you leave your offering. You go get reconciled to your brother and then come back and worship the Lord. See, wronging someone and not making that right, that's sin. But again, God's solution is freeing. Confess your sins. Confess to the Lord. Confess to those that you've wronged. Even confess to someone that you're in a prayer partnership with so that there's nothing, not pride, nothing that's stopping you from being able to access God and step into that next level in prayer. Maybe for some of us, the way we take our prayer to the next level is just to confess our sins. So we pray with a clean heart, knowing there's nothing between us and God or us and anybody else that would hinder or stifle or stop our prayer from going right into the throne room of God. Here's the second suggestion, how to take our prayer to the next level. Pray in agreement with others. Pray in agreement with others. Because this is what James tells us here in this passage. If you're in trouble, pray. If you're happy, sing songs of prayer and praise. If you're sick, call for the elders to pray for you. So now you're entering into prayer with others. Confess your sins to one another. Pray for each other that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful, and it accomplishes much. It's the one another. I have to tell you, just from my looking at Scripture, all the prayer teachings and promises and verses, there's nothing any more holy about praying by yourself, as Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 6, in your prayer closet, or praying in a gathering like Acts chapter 4 where the whole church is gathered together, or praying in a more intimate gathering that James 5 is talking about. None of those is any more holy. The point is, how do you need to take your prayer to the next level? Maybe you've prayed by yourself and on your own, but you need to go to the next level and have a group that you pray with. That's what's so awesome, by the way, about these community groups that we're launching. Right there, it may be that as you join one of our community groups or you host one of our groups, you've got some people there that you can bear each other's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. You've got some people there that you can pray with and pray for to see God move and work within you. It may be, think about this, it may be that this community group opportunity is a chance for you to be praying and God to do a miraculous work in answering your prayer, not just for you, but for that person that you invited who doesn't know the Lord. Because, you know, people really don't want to see what we do for God. They want to see, what does God do for us? And when someone sees God hearing and answering prayer, whatever questions they had or barriers they had just go by the wayside because they see God is real. James 5 is encouraging us to pray with others, to pray in agreement with others. You know, in Matthew chapter 18, it says this, "Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them." Now, I know the backdrop of this passage is talking about when someone is in sin and refuses to repent of their sin. And it details some steps of correction that the church should take coming alongside that person. And here the word of affirmation is when the leaders of the church, the elders of the church, are seeking God's wisdom about what to do with that person, he's in the midst of that gathering, and he hears those prayers, and he confirms what it is that ought to be done. I know that's the context. But think about the principle that is being applied in that context. The principle is when people who are seeking the Lord gather together to discover what it is that God wants to do, and there's agreement among them in hearing God speak, and then they pray about that, God does what it is that they're agreeing about and praying for. That's powerful, you see. So maybe taking your prayer to the next level is to have a prayer partner, to be opening up with your needs in one of these community groups that we're launching, to be praying with others in agreement and seeing God confirm his word to you by granting and accomplishing what it is that you're praying about. That's what the early church experienced, by the way. If you look at the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 1, Jesus has been raised from the dead. He gives the Great Commission one last time. He ascends to the heavens and takes his place seated at the right hand of God. And immediately it says, they gathered together and prayed. You know what came out of that prayer gathering? The day of Pentecost, 10 days later, when the Holy Spirit was released and transformed the lives of all those people in Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 2, those brand new believers were gathered together as a church. It says that they continually devoted themselves to prayer, to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread. And what was the result of their continued devotion to prayer? It says in Acts 2:47, the Lord was adding to their number every day people who were being saved. In Acts chapter 4, the apostles are warned not to preach so boldly about Jesus. So they gathered the whole church together, and the church as a whole group gathered together and prayed. What was the focus of their prayer? Acts 4:29 says, Lord, grant that thy servants speak your word boldly and that you do signs and wonders in Jesus' name. And it says in Acts 4:31, and when they prayed, the whole place was filled with the Holy Spirit, and everyone spoke the word of God with boldness. In Acts chapter 12, Peter is thrown into prison, and they had a prayer meeting as a church, and as a result of that prayer meeting, God did a miracle, and an angel was dispatched and supernaturally broke open the doors of the jail, and Peter walked out miraculously in response to their praying in Acts 12. Acts chapter 13, the leaders of the church, the apostles and elders are gathered together. They're praying. The Holy Spirit spoke to them in the midst of that prayer gathering and said, set apart Barnabas and Paul for the work that I have for them. And out of that, Barnabas and Paul were sent out on all the missionary journeys where they planted churches and established elders, and Paul wrote all the New Testament letters that are with us in our Bible. You see, when we gather with other believers of like mind and seek the Lord and pray, God releases his miracles. So maybe what we need to do to take our prayer to the next level is to pray with others in real agreement. Here's a third suggestion. How to take our prayer to the next level, right? Because we're all at some level in our prayer life, but we want to go to the next level. pray with fasting. Pray with fasting. Just Friday night, I was at a party and I saw a friend of mine. I don't really know him that well, but every time I see him, we kind of get connected and talk. He goes to another church. He's just a great guy and a servant, works in youth ministry at another church. And he was cooking up all the sausages. We were outside talking and I said, "Aren't you going to have one?" And he goes, "No, you know, I'm not eating anything." Now I know the guy. So I said, "Are you fasting?" And he got a little smile. He goes, "Yeah, I am." I said, "Well, what's going on?" He said, "You know, that I got this small group of high school boys. And man, there's some strongholds in some of their lives. And the Bible says, Jesus said, this kind comes out only by prayer and fasting. So I'm fasting and praying for those boys that God would give them total freedom in their life." There is a biblical call and reality to fasting in conjunction with our prayers. In the Old Testament, there was only one occasion where God's people were commanded to fast, and that was on the Day of Atonement. But there are several examples of people in their seeking of the Lord in prayer who combined their prayer with fasting. In Exodus 34, Moses fasted for 40 days when he went up on Mount Sinai in order to receive the law from God. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, King Jehoshaphat, he was confronted with a far superior military force. He knew what he had to go out and fight him wasn't enough, so he sought the Lord in prayer and fasting, and God did a miracle and gave them victory. In Jonah chapter 3, Jonah comes and preaches the gospel at Nineveh. What Jonah thought was going to happen was that God's judgment was going to come upon the Ninevites because they were pagans. Instead, the Ninevites prayed and fasted, and God brought a revival, and the whole city got saved. In 2 Samuel chapter 1, when David heard that Saul and Jonathan had been killed in battle, out of his grief in seeking the Lord, he prayed and fasted. In Nehemiah chapter 1, when Nehemiah heard that the walls of Jerusalem were torn down, he sought the Lord in prayer and fasting and received direction about going back and rebuilding the wall. In the New Testament, in Luke chapter 2, when Jesus is born and they bring him to dedicate him in the temple according to the Jewish custom, there's Anna, who is a prophetess, and it says she was a woman who regularly sought the Lord in prayer and fasting. Mark chapter 2 describes the fact that John the Baptist, his disciples, they all fasted. Mark chapter 4, Jesus, before he begins his public ministry after his baptism for 40 days, is involved in prayer and fasting. Then he comes back and begins his messianic proclamation. In the book of Acts, I mentioned in Acts 13, the church at Antioch prayed and fasted, and they got God's direction for sending out Barnabas and Paul for ministry. And then in Acts 14, after their first missionary journey, Barnabas and Paul, after they started all these churches, they prayed and fasted, and God gave them direction as to who they should appoint as elders in each of the churches. Jesus said about the young man who was demonized that caused epileptic seizures, and his disciples tried to pray for him and couldn't help bring deliverance to his life. And Jesus spoke a word, and the man was healed. And the disciples said, "How does this happen?" And Jesus said, "This kind only comes out by prayer and fasting." So there's a real spiritual focus to fasting. And when you put all these scriptures together, you see that sometimes fasting is for the purpose of repentance because our hearts have gotten distracted or we've begun worshiping idols and we want to get ourselves back with pure and absolute focus on the one true God. And so we pray and we fast so that God would purify us. Sometimes fasting is just in seeking God. We're walking with God. We love God. We are in step with the Holy Spirit, but we want to be even more in tune with God. So we pray and fast to discover more of God and His promises in our lives. Sometimes we fast because we're not sure about God's will. And to clarify the noise and to get it out of our heads so we can just hear God, we include fasting as a part of our praying. Sometimes there are strongholds in our lives or the lives of others that only come out by prayer and fasting. So what am I saying? I'm saying that for some of us, taking our prayer to the next level means we need to include fasting as a part of our prayer. What does that mean? It may mean that we set aside one meal, and the time and energy that we would have taken to have that meal, we just spend in prayer and reflection upon God and listening to God and seeking God. It may mean that we do that for a whole day, and so an entire day we set aside eating a meal, and we instead use that time to seek and pursue God. It may not even be food. Maybe we have a fasting from social media. We are bombarded with so much noise and information. We can't even have a quiet time without looking at our phone and checking Facebook. Look, I'm being honest here. I listen to worship music as a part of my time with the Lord, and my phone's there, and there's sometimes where I'm reading the Bible, I'm listening to worship music, and I pick it up, and almost unconsciously, I look, did I get any text messages in the last 10 minutes? Is there anything posted on, you know, it's like, maybe that's what we need to fast from, social media. And as I said, it may be one meal, it may be a day. I'll tell you this. This is a story as part of the history of our church, as part of who we are, and I've shared this with you before. As we were seeking God's will about starting Crossline, and I was yet convinced that that's what God wanted me to do, and I knew that one of the ways you discover God's will and you hear God's voice in prayer, because I was praying, was through fasting. So I said, I'm gonna do a 3-day fast. So I committed myself for 3 days to take that time and energy that I would have spent in food and just to pray and to seek God and to allow hunger to remind me of God, to pray and to hear his voice. After 3 days, I didn't have any more clarity than I had when I started. And so I told Donna, my wife, I said, I'm going to keep fasting until I hear God speak to me. And so I was involved in a 10-day fast. And I felt like I heard from God that we needed to start this church. So the Bible and personal experience confirms that if we want to seek God at a whole new level, incorporate fasting into our prayer. We're talking about taking our prayer to the next level. And for some of us, that may mean fasting. Here's a fourth suggestion. Pray using the scriptures. Pray using the scriptures. Do you know there's a book in the Bible that is just prayers? It's the book of Psalms. 150 prayers. In Daniel chapter 9, the prophet Daniel was praying and reading the Bible, and it says this, in the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, a Mede by descent, who was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom, in that first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to me in the book of Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So I turned to the Lord and pleaded with him in prayer and petition and fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And the rest of Daniel 9 is a prayer that he prayed. What caused him to pray the prayer that he prayed in Daniel chapter 9? Well, he was praying and he was reading the Bible, the book of Jeremiah. And in Jeremiah 29, God talks about the captivity that he was going to take his people in. They were going to be taken captive. So this was predictive prophecy. It was written before it happened. God's people were going to be taken into captivity. They were going to be in captivity for 70 years, and then God was going to bring them out of the land and bring them back to Jerusalem. Daniel was a part of that captivity. So he's reading this, and he goes, huh, how long have we been here? 69 years. He was in the 69th year of the captivity, and he read it was going to last 70 years. And he went, wow, we need to get ready to go back. And so the whole prayer of Daniel 9 is a prayer of repentance and revival so that God's people would be ready to go back back into the land and fulfill all that God had promised would happen in and through them. You see, he combined the scriptures with his praying. That takes our prayer to a whole nother level. By the way, 1 John 5, 14 and 15 says this, and this is the confidence that we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, we know that he has heard what we've asked from him, and we know that we have what we've asked from him. You don't have confidence in your praying? Pray according to God's will. Yeah, I know that, JP. I just don't know what God's will is. Everything in this book tells you God's will. So when you pray the scriptures back to God, you're praying God's will. When you pray the scriptures back to God, you're praying God's will. I'll tell you one of the most powerful spiritual exercises you could engage in, and that is to pray through the book of Psalms. There are 150 inspired prayers. Just open up Psalm 1. You read a couple of verses and pray it back to God. If it's a statement of praise, you praise God. If it's a request, you ask that from God. If it's a statement of commitment, you commit yourself to do that to God. You pray back what's in the Psalms. Just pray it back to God. Or maybe take your 10 favorite prayer promises. Everybody who's learned something of the Bible has a favorite prayer promise. First of all, find where that is in the Bible. Get the chapter and verse. And then pray those promises back. Ask God for that. Or maybe it's commands. Everybody here knows at least one command from the Bible. Pray that that command will be fulfilled in your life because you're praying God's will. You see? Pray the scriptures back to God. See, we want to take our prayers to the next level. Pray using the scriptures. Here's a fifth suggestion. Pray warfare prayers with Jesus' authority. Pray warfare prayers with Jesus' authority. It says in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, Jesus said, the Son of Man partook of flesh and blood so that he might be a faithful high priest and destroy the works of the devil. Amen. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul prays a prayer inspired by the Holy Spirit. He prays, I pray that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened so that you might know the hope of your calling and the riches of the glory that he has for you as one of his saints, and that you might know the surpassing greatness of his power towards you. That power that was demonstrated when he raised Jesus from the dead and ascended him to the Father's right hand and was seated above all rule and authority and power and dominion, above every name that's named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. He made him as head over his church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Chapter 2 is there, but it wasn't in the original. It was just the next thought. And he says, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the sons of disobedience. And you too gratified the desires of your flesh and your mind. But God, who's rich in mercy, even when we were dead in our transgressions, he made us alive together with Christ. He raised us up with Christ. He seated us with Christ in heavenly places. Jesus is seated above all rule, authority, power, and dominion, above every name's name, not only in this age, but also in ages to come. We were made alive with Christ. We were raised up with Christ. We were seated with Christ. Right now, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're seated with Christ. Well, where is Christ seated? Above all rule and authority, power and dominion, above every name that's named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. You are seated with Christ in his position of absolute spiritual authority. That's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, after Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. It was my Father in heaven. Upon this rock, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell cannot stop it. I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Jesus has given every believer his authority. Now, if you're living in sin, if you're living in unbelief, if you're loving the things of this world, don't think that you can stand toe-to-toe with Satan and say, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. He'll kick the spiritual stuffing out of you. But if there's no unconfessed sin in your life, you're seeking first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and you've asked the Holy Spirit to fill your life, and you know who you are as a child of God, you can exercise the authority that Jesus Christ has given to you and pray warfare prayers of rebuking Satan, of breaking down strongholds, of binding evil and fear and pride and lust and selfishness and shame and guilt, and loosing freedom and salvation and hope and love and forgiveness and restoration and salvation in Jesus' name. For some of us, we need to take our prayer to a whole new level. We need to pray warfare prayers with the full authority of Jesus Christ. Here's a sixth suggestion. How to take our prayer to the next level. Keep a prayer journal. That's what David did, and it became the book of Psalms. Keep a prayer journal. Write out your prayers. Write them out. Pray them, say them, write them out. And then you can come back to them and praise God for the answers and see how you need to keep praying for the things that you have begun praying for, and you need to keep being persistent in those things, and you need to even edit some of them because you go, well, I've come to see that wasn't God's will in the first place. It was his will that I pray for it, but now I see he had something else planned, so I don't need to pray for that anymore. See, by keeping a prayer journal, it engages us more with God in our prayer. See, we want to go to the next level. Wherever you are in your spiritual journey and in your experience of prayer, James is saying, just do it. Just take your prayer to the next level. And here's the last suggestion. Go on a prayer walk. Go on a prayer walk. That's what God said to Joshua. Go on a prayer walk, mark around Jericho. And they did, and the walls came a-tumbling down. That's what God said to us when we started Crossline. Go on a prayer walk. And we marched around Capo High School where we first had our worship service. And God said, I want to reach Ladera. I want you to reach families, young families in the Ladera Ranch. And so we marched all around Ladera. We walked the streets praying. When God opened up the door for us to come to this campus, we sent teams over here. And we, before we even started worshiping here, we walked all around this campus, all around every building. We walked in the buildings. We walked all around this sanctuary. We laid our hands all over this stage. Underneath this carpet are the names of people that we wrote down. Many of you are here because your name was written down here and someone prayed for you. Go on a prayer walk. Maybe as you're thinking about joining one of these community groups or hosting a group, you're saying, I think I should, I can provide some food. I can push a button so that we can watch a video. I can invite my friends over to my house. But before you do that, why don't you just walk around your neighborhood and pray? Just go on a prayer walk in your neighborhood. What's amazing thing about that, because now, because of cell phones, someone's talking to themselves. You don't think they're weird, you just think they're on their phone. But you can be praying to God, praying for your neighbors, praying that God's blessing would come into their lives, that God's health, prosperity, forgiveness, salvation, restoration, praying for their kids, praying for their marriages, praying for people to be set free. If you have kids, go on a prayer walk around the school where your kids go to school. Walk around that and claim every child there for Jesus. Pray for those teachers to be transformed and filled with hope and wisdom and righteousness. Go to your place of business and just walk around the building. Go into your house and walk into every room and claim the authority and love of Jesus Christ in that room and for everybody whoever is in that room. Go out front of your house and just pray that everybody who walks through these doors experiences the blessings of God and the joy of salvation. Come to this church and walk around and pray. See, we want to take our prayer to the next level. What's God saying to you? How can you take your prayer to the next level? We want to, even as we finish, engage in a prayer exercise. There's a little card like this. Maybe it's on the seat in front of you or next to you or maybe under you in your bulletin. It's the prayer cards that we put in our prayer wall. Even in this moment right now, this is what I'd like to ask you to do. To say, Jesus, what is the holiest desire of my heart? What's the holiest desire of my heart? And write that out as a prayer. Just put that down. This is what you're asking Jesus to do. It's the holiest desire of your heart. We're going to be collecting these in our offering before we close. And then this week, our staff and pastors, we're going to agree with you. We're going to pray with you for each of these requests. And then we're going to put them in the prayer wall for you. I think Jesus is saying to us and to our church, take your prayer to the whole next level. So right now, just in this moment, just write out your holiest desire as a prayer. And then in a few moments, I'll come back up here and lead us in a time of offering to the Lord.